I'm going to tell you a little bit about how I was saved and how it come about. Now, Jesus, Nicodemus went to Jesus by night. Now, he went voluntary. He heard about Jesus and he wanted to know more about him, so he went to him by night. Now, I'm sorry, and God knows I'm not bragging about my wickedness. I wish I could forget it. God has. I wish I could, but I can't. I'm finite. God's infinite. I remember my wickedness. And I was a very wicked young man. At the age of 5, I started stealing cigarettes out of my daddy's store, and I started smoking at the age of 5. When God called me to preach, I quit smoking. I smoked from the age of 5 until I was 20 and a half years old. And when God called me to preach, I laid down my cigarettes. Now, I started smoking when I was 5. Now, I'm telling you all this to show you how the devil had me wrapped up lock, stock, and barrel. I started stealing tobacco out of my daddy's store when I was a child, 5 years old. And my dad, the worst whipping that he ever gave me in my life, he gave it to me for stealing cigarettes. And so, now, I didn't quit smoking cigarettes to get saved. I quit because I was saved and God called me to preach. That's why I quit. I felt like that I should, as a minister, I should lay them down and my testimony would go further. And I felt in my heart it was God's will, so I did. Now then, I'm saying all this to help you. Now listen, at the age of 9, I took my first drink of liquor. At the age of 13, I was getting drunk. And I was riding in the automobile with a seasoned bootlegger at night hauling liquor. Now, at the age of 13 and a half, my dad took out the papers and fixed up the papers to put me in the reformatory. And my sister, who came to my bedside for 10 years and bowed down and prayed for me, and I'd lie in bed and smoke and swear while she prayed, she kept coming back for 10 years, and she begged my dad not to put me in the reform school or in the reformatory. She said, if you do, it'll be the end of him. He'll go to hell just as sure as you do it, because if he gets in there, he'll never forgive you. He'll never forgive us. He'll go bad, sure. So she begged and begged and begged, and I'll never forget. My dad took me that night out on a lonely road. I'll never forget it. My old daddy broke down and wept and bawled and squalled. And he said, Oliver, you've broken my heart. And, of course, my dad wasn't saved. He was saved after I was. He wasn't converted. He's one of the best daddies that any boy ever had, but he wasn't saved. He'd do anything in the world for his family. You wouldn't find a better man on the face of the earth morally. Never heard my dad curse. Never heard him take God's name vain. Never smelt liquor on his breath in my life. But he wasn't saved. So he took me out on a lonely road, and he talked to me, and he agonized with me, and he wept like a baby. Well, I went in the community and joined the church. Now, that's terrible, but I did. I wanted to fool my daddy and fool my family. I thought I could. Joined the church, and brother, I got meaner and meaner and meaner. So I went from bad to worse, bad to worse, bad to worse. Now then, the night that I was converted, in other words, when I went to the church that night, I wanted to go to a swimming pool and carry my girlfriend, and I pitched a cussing fit when my daddy informed me that I had to carry my sister to church. He said, if you don't carry that girl to church, that automobile does not leave this yard tonight. So there I was. What was I to do? I had a date with a girlfriend, not my wife. That's my wife now. Thank God I don't have but one. I didn't marry until after I was saved, and I'm glad that I didn't, because I might have gotten in trouble. I don't know. God took care of me from that line. I've never been married but once. Thank God for it. God bless you people who may be in trouble. The grace of God is able to save you and certainly help you and lead you out of all of your troubles. I don't care what it is. But what I'm saying is this. I was supposed to carry this young lady to the swimming pool on Sunday night. And my daddy said, if you don't take your sister to church, you're not leaving this yard. That car will not be. So what was I to do? Brother, my back was to the wall. I had a cussing fit, and he threatened to beat me half to death for swearing in front of my sister like I did. So I took my sister and this young lady and went to church. When we got there, I was happy. The thing was packed, jammed, and crammed with people. It was a revival meeting. God's man was preaching God's word. And I had to stand in the door, and I was so glad. My sister and my girlfriend went on down to the very front seat, but I stood in the doorway that night. Now, I was brought under conviction the Sunday night before, but this is the night I was saved. I stood in the door, and God's preacher just a dear, humble man of God in a country church, a good old frame building. I shut the door and he preached on the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. And he preached me just as close to hell as a preacher can preach a sinner to hell. I could almost smell the flames and hear the cracking of the flames. All right, I stood there and I trembled. And I knew that I was going to hell. I knew that I was lost. Then he gave the altar call. I went down. I'm sure my sister was praying. My girlfriend wasn't a Christian. She was a good girl, but she wasn't a Christian. And she's not the girl that I married, not my wife. I met my wife and married her after I was saved many years and God called me to preach. But what I'm saying is this. Now listen. I'm sure my sister was praying. And I went down, gave the preacher my hand. He tried to get me to stay, and I wouldn't do it. I said, no, sir. I went back and stood in the door. He gave the altar call. Several were converted, and the crowd was dismissed. I went to the automobile, turned on the radio, and I was listening to some kind of a band or something on the radio. And I planned to go down to the swimming pool afterward. But I turned on the radio, and I was miserable. I was in misery. And my sister stayed in the church and spoke to a lot of people and talked. And about 15, 20 minutes, I sat in the car waiting. And they were the last ones to come out. Well, just as they came out, I got out of the car and went back in. Now, beloved, honest, I don't know. It's amazing how it happened. But I walked back in that church, and I tell you, if somebody had told me when I left home, if somebody had told me that I would have done it, I'd have said, never in this world, you couldn't hog-tie me and drag me in there. But I walked in. The dear preacher was pulling down the windows, closing up the church by himself. Not a soul in there. God had it all fixed just right. And I said, preacher, I'm lost. He pulled his little black testament out of his lapel pocket and read John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he said, Oliver, he knew me. He knew my name. He knew the family. He said, Oliver, you believe that? I said, preacher, I've always believed that. I've always believed that God loved the world and Jesus died on the cross. He said, yes, that's a head knowledge, son. He said, that's an intellectual knowledge, and that's all hundreds of church members have. That's all they have. They've got a brain knowledge and a head knowledge and an intellectual religion. But he said, Oliver, that won't save you. He said, you're not saved. You believe that, but that won't save you. But the Bible says if you'll believe on the Son, God will save you. Now, he said, listen, son, this is the way you do that. He said, believe with your heart. Trust him. Trust him. He said, you're lost, aren't you? I said, yes. He said, you're going to hell, aren't you? I said, yes, sir. I'm lost and on the road to hell. He said, you know it, don't you? I said, yes. And he said, you don't want to go there, do you? I said, no, sir. Well, now, he said, listen, son, trust your soul, your inner man, the part of you that will never die. You just say, Jesus, here I am, save me now, save me now, save me now, redeem me, and wash my sins away. Just say it the best you can in your heart. And I didn't even pray out loud then. I didn't even call on God out loud at that time. And he read that verse again. God so loved the world. John 3:16, gospel in a nutshell, amen. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, he said, Oliver, will you give me your hand and will you say, preacher, with all the faith and understanding, with all the ability, with all my heart, I'll trust him. I'll trust him. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of water going over the dam and a lot of water going under the bridge. Been a lot of sunrises and sunsets since that day. God bless you. I've never doubted the miracle that God worked in my poor lost soul. I went to the car. I wept all the way home, went in my little room, fell down on my knees by the window. And I looked out into the starry night. And I said, God, I don't know how to pray, and I don't know what to say, and I don't know how to say what I want to say. You forgive me, but I can't help it. I'm glad I'm not in hell. And if I hadn't have been saved that night, I'd be in the penitentiary of hell one. That's where I'd be right now. I'd be there. Couldn't be anywhere else. I'd be in the pen or hell. But God saved me. I fell down. I looked out into the starry night. And I said, dear God, I don't know how to pray. And I said, God, I don't know how to say what I want to say. But I said, God, I mean what I said tonight. And I said, Lord, forgive me. Save me. Come into my heart. And he did.